الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. Let us continue from where we stopped. The author said, every creation that exists, be it among entities or deeds, from the fine dust to the arsh, and every movement rests intention and thought of the slaves, is created by Allah. Hence, no one other than Allah, be it nature or cause, creates anything. Things become existent by Allah's will, power, and destiny, and in accordance with His eternal knowledge. The explanation, everything that comes into existence, whether it has a volume or it is an attribute, is created, because the creations are divided into two kinds: what has a volume and the attributes of this volume. The small volumes, like the dust of those fine things that you see when the sunshine enters from the window, what's smaller than that, and what's bigger up till al-arsh, all those volumes are created by Allah. Likewise, the attributes of volumes, like speech, knowledge, movement, getting into rest, immobility, thoughts, and all other aspects of doings and attributes are created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is not created by nature, and it is not created by reasons. Things are not created by nature. Nature means the way things are. So it's not the nature of the soil, the nature of the tree, the nature of the air, the nature of weather that creates the leaves, for example, or the fruits. Allah is the one who creates that. Also, reasons do not create anything. The philosophers, they have something that it's called in Arabic illa, that might be translated into English as reasons. For them, it is something by which another thing exists, and whenever it is there, the result has to exist. In Arabic, they call it illa, cause, maybe. Also, this is not the creator. This does not create anything. Rather, the one who creates everything is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. According to what they say, under the same effects, the similar bodies, they react in the same way. They give the same results. You see, the same tree that gets its nutrition, if you want, from the same soil, from the same water, under the same conditions of weather, carries different fruits that are not the same, some bigger, some smaller, some sweeter, some more, etc. One piece of land that has the same trees, kind of trees in it, every tree is different from the other. Even the same fruit might have different parts that differ one from another. This is because the creator is Allah, who is attributed by will and power. It's neither nature nor causes. So everything exists by the will of Allah and by Allah's power, by His eternal knowledge and His decree. One of the proofs of that is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, which means He is the one who brings everything from the state of non-existence to the state of existence. The term shay, which is mentioned in the verse, in the Arabic language, includes bodies and deeds. It does not mean only the volumes, the bodies. Shay in the Arabic language means what exists. So everything that exists is created by Allah. The Mu'tazila, when they come to this verse, they lie here. They say shay refers to bodies. But they say in the Arabic language, this is what it means, bodies. It does not include deeds. We tell them, Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهِ. In this verse, the term شَيْء is applied to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And by consensus, among us and them, we and them agree that Allah is not a body. They agree with us on this issue. So in this verse, shay is applied to Allah, although Allah is not a body. Thus, it is not correct that shay refers only to bodies in the Arabic language. Rather, shay means what exists. The Mu'tazila went to the point that they said every doing, every deed, every doing is created by the one who does it. Every voluntary deed or doing is created by the one who does it. They said even the animals, even the mosquito, the tick and the like, they create their doings. So according to them, the creations of other than Allah are more than the creations of Allah. Na'udhu billah. It is clear that the doings and the deeds are much more than bodies. Just one body, one volume, makes a lot of doings. This is why it is not permissible to hesitate about judging them as blasphemers. And this is why it is not permissible to hesitate and judge the Mu'tazila as blasphemers. Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi, who is a great imam among the Ash'aris and the Shafi'is, said, our scholars agreed, all of them, to judge them as blasphemers. Al-Hafiz Murtada al-Zabidi said, he's a Hanafi scholar, Hafiz of Hadith, said, our scholars in the area which is behind the river, I'm translating literally, it's the area including Bukhara, Tashqand, Samarqand, and all those cities nowadays in the ex-Soviet Union. The people there are mostly Hanafis. So he said our scholars there never ceased from judging the Mu'tazila as blasphemers. Likewise, Al-Imam Malik was asked about marrying for... Is it permissible to give a Muslim woman in marriage to one of the Mu'tazila? He answered by mentioning the verse, وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ, which means one is not entitled to give one's daughter in marriage to a blasphemer. Even if the believer who wants to marry her is a slave, then let him give her in marriage to this slave and not to a blasphemer, regardless of his situation. Which means they are blasphemers. So no one brings anything from non-existence to the state of existence except Allah. And anyone who goes against this creed is a blasphemer. The author said, An-Nasafi said that if a person hit glass with a stone and broke it, then the acts of hitting and breaking and the state of being broken were created by Allah. The slave only acquires the act. Allah is the only one who creates. Allah Ta'ala said, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَكْتَسَبَتْ. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 286 means, every individual self will be rewarded by Allah for the good deeds it acquired and will be accountable for the sins it committed. If the person hits a glass with a stone, then you have here the act of throwing the stone. This is one act. The glass might be broken and it might not. If it is, then you have the effect of the stone hitting the glass, which is to break the glass. And you have the glass that was broken. All of this is created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The slave did not create anything. The slave acquires his deed. He does not create it. So the slave only acquires his deed, which means the slave directs his intention towards doing something when Allah creates that deed, which means for the deed to be created in the slave while his intention, the intention of the slave, is directed towards doing it. This is what it means to acquire the deed. For example, if someone so-and-so walks, he takes few steps, he is attributed with that movement while his intention is directed towards doing that. This is acquiring the deed. The deed is created by Allah. The one who's walking is created by Allah. His intention is created by Allah. But who is the one who's walking? So and so. So he is acquiring the deed. This is what it means to acquire the deed. It does not mean to create anything. So Allah creates and the slave acquires. The slave does not create anything. And this is clear. When I walk, I do not know what's the length of each step. Had I been the creator, of that step, I would have known its length, because the Creator has to be attributed with knowledge. Just as Allah said in Surah Tabarak, Surah Al-Mulk, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, which means the one who creates is also attributed with knowledge. The one who creates is knowledgeable about what he creates. When I speak, I do not know which vocal cord is vibrating with each letter. Had I been the one who creates that, I would have known. The truth is, the slave acquires the deed but does not create it. The one who creates it is Allah, who is knowledgeable about everything. From here also it is known that the deeds that occur in the heart are created by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and not by the slave. Even the thought that passes on one's mind, just as Allah Ta'ala said, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ, which means that Allah turns the hearts, their hearts and their sights. Is it clear up till here? Sights, yes, the hearts and the sights.
وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ.
The author said, the speech, that is the kalam of Allah, is without a beginning, like all of His other attributes, because He, the Exalted, is unlike the creations in the self, attributes, and actions. We said that Allah is attributed with oneness, which means that Allah has no partners. His self does not resemble any other self. His doings do not resemble the doings of others. And His attributes do not resemble the attributes of others. From this, it is understood that His speech, His kalam, which is His attribute, does not resemble the speech of the creatures. The speech of the creatures is with sounds and letters. It has a beginning. It occurs one batch after another. As for the speech of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is not composed of sounds and letters. It is not a language, neither Arabic nor any other language. It does not have a beginning. It is not composed of parts. It is one speech without a beginning, without an end, that does not resemble the speech of the creation. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is attributed with speech with which Allah orders, forbids, tells, without it being affected by change and without it being composed of parts. It does not resemble our speech. Now, if this is the case, don't we call the Arabic terms revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kalamullah? The answer is yes, we do. Although it is composed from letters and sounds, and for sure letters and sounds are created, we call so those revealed terms for sure are created, but still we call them kalamullah because they are not composed by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, nor by Jibreel or any other angel. And because they are expressions of the eternal speech of Allah. To make it more clear, let us give an example. If I write on the board the name of Allah, Alif Lam Lam Ha, and then someone would ask, what's this? What's this term? Another one would answer, Allah. Does he mean that this term, those letters, are the exalted self that we worship? No. Rather, this term is an expression of the eternal self. Likewise, the Arabic terms revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are expressions of the eternal kalam of Allah. And both the eternal kalam of Allah, we call it kalamullah, and the revealed terms, we call them kalamullah. So depending on the context, the term kalamullah can mean either the attribute of Allah or the revealed terms. Likewise, the revealed text called At-Tawrah, the Torah, which was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, we call it Kalamullah because it is an expression of the eternal Kalam of God. Likewise, the Syriac terms revealed to Prophet Isa, Al-Injil, we call it Kalamullah because it is an expression of the eternal Kalam of Allah Ta'ala. As for the speech of Allah, which is the attribute of Allah, it does not resemble the speech of the creation. It is not composed of sounds and letters. It is neither Arabic nor Syriac or Hebrew. This is why Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said Allah is attributed with a speech that is not like our speech. We speak with letters, exits, and organs. Allah speaks without any letter and without any organ. Anyone who believes that Allah speaks with letters, like Arabic letters, he is likening Allah to the creation and claiming that Allah is attributed with created attributes. When I say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, first I start with the B. Before that, this sound does not exist, did not exist. Then it exists, then it ends, then the scene exists, then it ends, then the meme, then it ends, then the lamb, and etc. What exists after non-existing, and then comes to an end, and so on. Isn't it created? Of course. Is it eternal? No. The Wahhabis, because they like to liken Allah to the creations, they say Allah speaks with letters and sounds. They say, but His speech is eternal. But you and me, everyone knows that letters are created and sounds are created. So anyone who says that the sounds and letters are eternal is like a crazy person, insane. When I say Bismillah, the scene does not exist except after the ba ends, and then the meme does not exist except after the scene ends. What does not exist except after something before it ends, would it be eternal? How's that? Craziness. The one who says that is insane. Even what is known by senses, the Wahhabis, they go against it. because Allah made them misguided. And the one to whom Allah willed misguidance, you and I cannot do anything about his status, his situation. Let us stop here for now. Allah knows best. This matter, this case about al-kalam is important. Some people, they don't understand it properly. They have a wrong belief about it. Allah Ta'ala said, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. This verse means that the blasphemers wanted to change, to pervert كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. In this verse, the term كَلَامُ اللَّهِ cannot refer to the attribute of the self of Allah, because the blasphemers did not want to change the attribute of Allah. They wanted to change the revealed terms. So it is very clear that the term Kalamullah refers to the revealed terms. In another verse, Allah said, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. In this verse, the term كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي refers to the eternal kalam of Allah. It does not refer to the revealed books, because the verse means that if you have the ocean as ink and with it a similar amount, then it will vanish, it will come to an end. If you use it to write, it will come to an end, while the speech of Allah does not come to an end. For sure, here the term Kalimatu Rabbi does not refer to the revealed books, because if you have an ocean of ink, then you can write Al-Qur'an and all the revealed books before it vanishes, before it comes to an end. You don't use even except a part of it. So it is clear that the term Kalamullah, referring to Al-Qur'an, it is clear that the term Kalamullah is used in two meanings. One, in reference to the attribute of Allah that does not resemble our attributes. The other one, referring to the revealed terms. Naam. Al-aya al-oola. Ta'ni al-lafz al-munazzal. Naam. Sahih. Sahih. Do you have questions? MashaAllah, no questions. Good. Then I'll ask in the next session, inshaAllah.